God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. This is one of those moments where this may not be the item that's tops on the news cycle. Sometimes we stand in defiance of the news cycle. And we often ask ourselves in the program, what is the top news story to God? And I'll say again, it is a dangerous thing to try to imagine we can think like God. We can consult his word. We can spend time around Christians more mature in the faith than we are. We can pray and make sure that we leave time for listening and prayer. And we can pay attention to life events and sometimes even dreams where God speaks to us, so long as it doesn't disagree with his word. But the top news story for God, I think, will continue to be that the free gift of salvation is available through the blood of Jesus Christ for all who are willing to accept him as Lord and Savior, follow him, and agree to be changed by him. But there are items, I think, that are near and dear to God. Nothing in our world surprises him, but I think there are things that are near and dear to him, and our bodies are one of those things. I know that because of God's word. We are made in his image. And President Trump has recently nominated a woman who, in some ways, would have some authority over how our bodies are treated. She would be Surgeon General. Her name is Dr. Casey Means. Now, she's not a licensed MD, and I don't hold that against her, because she chose to leave the profession after she saw what was going on with pharma and metabolic disorders, and that we are, in fact, making people sick versus helping people get healthy. She's got some strange things in her background, she admitted to. She admitted to praying to trees. That bothers me. She admitted, apparently, to using mushrooms, the psychedelic sort, when she was seeking romance. Now, if you are not a lifelong discipled Christian, you probably have some strange things you've done in your life. So I'm willing to look past that. I'm willing to pray. Of course, I'll pray that she'll find the Lord Jesus. But there's something missing. She's not talking about the COVID shots. No one is talking about the COVID shots. RFK Jr. has. He's contended that they killed more people than have ever been seriously reported by the Mockingbird media. I think it's 17 million globally, and I can back those numbers up. There is, though, this glaring example that is providing a lot of people room to say that Casey Means and her brother are what's called controlled opposition. That is, that they're there to focus people on junk food and metabolic disorders to take attention off the shots. The COVID shots are causing cancers, turbo cancers, problems in pregnancies. They're causing miscarriages. They're causing neurological disorders. But they're the precious. They're the precious. And I don't think President Trump can bring himself to admit they're a problem. I don't think he's willing to do that at all. So, Casey Means, as Surgeon General, what could she do? Well, one of the things I would hope she would do is right-size the relationship between so-called insurance companies and patients, or what they like to pretend are customers. That relationship is utterly broken. Doctors are now making a great decision to record their calls with so-called insurance companies. And when I say so-called, here's what I mean. Insurance is this. If you face a catastrophic event, healthcare-wise, you can't afford, insurance steps in to pay for it. That's insurance. $5 copays to walk into the doctor and go in and get to push drugs. Because the $5 copays, guys, that's a loss leader. $5 to get you in to see the doctor is an opportunity to pitch you on more pharma products or surgery products. It's a brilliant move. And your insurance company doesn't want to pay for a lot of these procedures, particularly the ones that can save your life. But the ones that are priced into the plan, as insurance companies and big medical facilities and surgical facilities and hospital associations are all in bed together, sure, they'll pay for that stuff. So doctors are making a decision to record their phone calls. This doctor found out that her so-called peer-to-peer call with Cigna Healthcare was not actually with a doctor. And by the way, a peer-to-peer call should be just that. A doctor has met a patient, has looked into the patient's health, has talked to the patient, examined the patient, touched the patient, listened to the patient. Peer-to-peer should be a doctor talking to a doctor, but that's not what happens.
For the medication Absorica, LD 32 milligram capsules, is that correct?
Yes. And so, I'm so sorry. Are you the person that is doing my peer-to-peer right now?
Yes, I am.
What are your qualifications? What is your...
I am a pharmacist.
Okay. So how does the peer-to-peer work for Cigna? I thought it needs to be another physician that's my peer.
It depends on the drug and the state. I think it is California. So California does have some stricter laws, but for the drug itself, you can go through like a pharmacist peer-to-peer first, and Cigna does try to do it that way because a lot of times a lot of things can be resolved doing that route. And then if not, you can always request to do like a review with a dermatologist.
I can actually have a peer-to-peer with someone in my field.
You could request that. They try to step through with a pharmacist because a lot of times it can be resolved just talking to a pharmacist, and it takes a little bit while to get something set up with the medical directors or the medical prescribers.
Cigna does not want to prescribe this drug, rather to pay for it. The doctor who's examined the patient, who has touched the patient and spent time with the patient, who has a specialty in that field, would like this drug. Now, you know me. I'm no fan of pharma. But I want to see the Surgeon General, if it's going to be Casey Means, since she won't talk about the shots, the COVID shots, at least she could do this. Insurance companies are not gatekeepers. That's not their role. That's an Obamacare role. And it is a conflicted role, and it's about profit. And I want companies to make profit. But not while they're pretending that you're a customer of these insurance companies. You are a product. And pharma has bought you, and big surgery has bought you, and you're sold through your insurance company. And when you want something that's not rolled up into that big conflicted plan, that's all priced in and government money underwrites, you're in trouble. So this doctor had to get a form submitted on her behalf to start a peer-to-peer call. And when she connected with an actual doctor, then that doctor actually didn't work in her specialty.
I had to submit a form to try to get the MD request, a peer-to-peer request. And I still haven't heard anything back, but I did have to put your phone number in. By chance, did anybody call you?
No one has called.
No one's called yet? Okay. Then I am just going to continue to wait to see if I get anything back. I haven't gotten a call or a phone call. If I hear back, I'll reach out to you again today. If not, I will follow up with you until I do hear back.
Okay, I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, sorry. With it being a Friday, I don't know if there's other things going on, but that's kind of where I'm at. So,
okay.
So yeah, anything else I can do for you at the moment?
I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's the Absorica LD that you were trying to get for him, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Just to, for my own records, can you tell me again, what is your specialty?
Family medicine.
Not a dermatologist. They don't want to pay for the drug. They're trying to tire this doctor out. So now to family specialist, not a dermatologist. Prior to that, it had been a pharmacist. She finally recorded herself doing to have a peer-to-peer with a fellow dermatologist. And here's what the fellow dermatologist told this doctor.
You know, I want to be able to have like a a heart-to-heart with someone who is also treating patients with Accutane, right? So if you're able to, I mean, family does it sometimes too. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. But if you're more comfortable with a dermatologist calling, let me request that to see if he can call you next week.
Did you hear this? So Casey Means is going to be maybe Surgeon General. She's clearly not allowed to talk about the COVID shots. She's clearly not allowed to go after that, but she could go after insurance companies. And we need a law change on this. We need the residue of Obamacare destroyed from our system. There was another doctor who recorded a call, and she did this with United Healthcare that was simply trying to get a patient's surgery approved. And she went through a very similar runaround.
Can you just tell me your name one more time? I'm sorry, you won't give me your name? I don't understand the relationship. I'm just asking for your name so that I know what doctor I'm speaking with. If we're doing a peer-to-peer, I just want to know who you are. So United won't let you give your name out for security reasons. Can you tell me what specialty you are? Did you do breast reconstruction? You did not do breast reconstruction. Okay, is it her plan that's not allowing her to have this, or United? Does she have a plan exclusion? Can you send me that evaluation? Like, can I see their reasoning and thought process when they've reviewed the literature to see what they reviewed? I mean, you understand this is this patient's one chance to have sensation preserved. And I do think that it's very reasonable to do this as a fellowship-trained microsurgeon. I think it's very reasonable to dissect out the fourth inner.
So she goes through the very technical aspects of this. And the person on the phone with what's United wants to be called a healthcare company, they're not. Won't give his name, won't give his specialty, will not share with her the data on why United so-called healthcare is denying this surgery.
I mean, I'm a physician, I'm a doctor, and I feel like I'm making a medical decision for my patient. It seems like United is making a medical determination about this. And I don't exactly know how that works, right? Seems like they're practicing medicine. I just want to read it like a paper, right, and see what the references are so I can understand. Can you email it to me? You're not allowed to email it to me? It's an internal resource. I mean, there's data from 2023 and 2024.
I had a very similar experience with MediShare. Now, after three appeals, I am really, really pleased to see and to tell you that MediShare actually agreed to pay for my shoulder surgery. Or to rather have me share it as a healthcare sharing expense. But it took three tries. It took me writing about a 40-page document and doing a lot of legwork to go with this. And the third-level appeal worked. But during that process, MediShare told me they couldn't share the email discussions they had about my case internally. They couldn't share voicemails. Now, they said that was a HIPAA violation. And I said, no, it's not. Because it's about me, I can release HIPAA. I can sign a release form. But they call that an internal asset as well. Now, MediShare did come through, and I want to make clear on that. Worked with a young woman named Ashley on the third level appeal. She was fantastic, deeply thankful. But most people don't have the time cycles to do that. Most people will get worn out. Obamacare changed forever, unless we change it back, what doctors were. Doctors had been entrepreneurial people. They had built their own practices. The more the government got involved, the less important the doctor was. Here's a statistic for you post-Obamacare. For every one physician you pay for, you're paying for 18 administrators. And those administrators' jobs are to deal with Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance companies. So when you're in the when you're paying for a doctor's time, multiply it by 17. And in fact, many of the administrators get paid more than the doctors. She's not allowed to talk about the COVID shots. Maybe Casey Means, if she is a Surgeon General, will talk about this. We'll continue on A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get to a personal note, the Tower Babbling coming up here. I got a couple of emails from Catholic listeners in relation to the new Pope. This one from Mark. Dear Todd, I listen to Disciples View every day on AFR. I love your take on things. I am a Catholic and would ask you, what should we do? You seem to have a lot of criticisms about our new Pope. I have concerns as well. But as a Catholic who believes in the Catholic Church as Christ's Church, what should we do? Love your take on that. Mark, thank you for the note. Brief and to the point and yet complimentary. I appreciate that. As a Catholic, I can't speak because I'm not a Catholic. So what should Catholics do? I don't know. I mean, if you have concerns about the Pope, clearly pray for him. He's been given a huge responsibility, and to whom much is given, much is expected, so prayer. I think work within your church to the degree that you can to make sure that your specific Catholic Church is biblically strict and is not straying from the Bible, and to the degree that you have influence there, use it. I mean, there are churches, Catholic churches, that are far more observant of the word than others. That I do know from having a lot of Catholic friends. And I guess have faith. Obviously, we are to have a defense for our optimism. You're a man who clearly believes in the papal ascendancy. Therefore, he sits on, I think, what you guys call the throne of Peter. Therefore, he's placed there by God. Therefore, this is for your good. Right. And so I have faith in that. But overall, have faith in this, Jesus Christ. I would make that the center of your faith, Jesus Christ. And I don't know enough about you to know if that's the case. We don't need Jesus plus. Jesus doesn't need any addendums. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any structure save the one he created, which is his church. And you believe that to be the Catholic Church. Appreciate the note, Mark. Thank you very much. This is from Elizabeth. Hi, Todd. I enjoy Disciples View and listen as often as I can. I've been an AFR supporter for about 12 years. I'm a Catholic woman, and I am filled with great optimism for Pope Leo. We all go through periods of times that are hard. Our church is no different. I was not in favor of Pope Francis. He was our leader. I prayed for him and was consistently disappointed. What I noticed during Francis's time as Pope was a discussion among faithful Catholics about our faith and its teachings on human sexuality. I noticed robust discussion that almost always ended in biblical observance. One man, one woman in a marital union. The Pope was misled on that. I'm sad about it. To answer a question you asked, do I think he was saved? Absolutely. He spent his life serving Jesus as he saw it, even if he erred on scripture, and I believe he did. So to answer your question, I'm optimistic. And by the way, you seem to be really curious about the Catholic Church. Maybe you're being called home. Elizabeth, thanks for the note. I take that with such great pleasure to hear that. It's an act of love. To invite someone like that. So thank you very much. Bishop Robert Barron is, I think, pretty well known as a commentator at this point, and he's not shy about his opinions. He speaks on cultural issues. He speaks on what's so-called political issues. I say so-called because in the era of massive government, everything is politics, including how you refer to your children. Whether you call them a boy or a girl is politics, except, of course, it's truth, and God himself is truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but through him. So Bishop Robert Barron, he seems pretty excited about Pope Leo.
I think they just took a good look at him and said, okay, he's about the right age, and he's got all of these qualities. And even though, you know, a lot of us were saying, myself included, they'll never elect an American Pope. Well, they did. And I think they just recognized the qualities he has. My prayer is that it has a, you know, vivifying effect on the church in America. So it's an extraordinary day, a surprising day, a great day. So let's all pray for our new Pope, Leo the 14th. God bless you all.
Absolutely. Absolutely must do that. I join you in that. Absolutely, I pray for Leo the 14th. Did I say 19th the other day? I absolutely pray for him. And we all should. And I pray for victims of sex abuse. The Catholic Church is unfairly targeted in this way, in terms of reporting. The government schools in America have a huge, huge pedophile problem. And I could share with you, and I will not on this air, some of the most shocking things teachers have done and kept their jobs. Sometimes for 20 years after the offense. And I'm telling you, whatever you're thinking is not as bad as you think it is. This has become ever more the case in the fallen Marxist countries of Washington State, where they have so perverted the schools that now pedophiles dream of moving there and working there. I've told you about this series of arrests. I think it's now 15 this year. It's May. 15 teachers arrested in that state for sex offenses with kids. In that state, by the way, this has happened again in the prison system in the separate country of Washington State. They saw fit to place a 6'4" man named William, who hasn't changed his name, into a woman's prison. A woman is forced to bunk with him, locked into a cage with him. He is a rapist and a man who beats women. And he has already sexually assaulted people in prison. And a woman is suing because she is forced to be in a cage with him all day when they're not out of their cells, and definitely all night, locked in a cage with a rapist. So when I say the Catholic Church is unfairly targeted in this way by the media, they are. Did you hear that story in the national media? I knew about it and saw gladly that the Daily Caller's reporting it. And still, I have to mention this. There is some media reporting on Pope Leo's backgrounds. Of course, the first American pope, 267th pontiff. While serving as bishop of Chiclayo, Peru, three women say they told him they were sexually abused as children by two priests under his leadership. And they claim that what the church said is, well, we can't do anything unless you file a civil complaint. And perhaps that's true in Peru. One of these priests was apparently transferred out of the area, and the official reasoning was because of his health. The church has apparently and allegedly ignored these allegations until one of the victims went out and spoke about it on a social media platform. And then the church allegedly just ignored that for years. And once they told them that they couldn't investigate this because without a civil claim, and the social media post came along, apparently then the church did some things, but only then the diocese didn't open an investigation. But there's been no official response. And an Italian journalist alleges that the Pope, Leo, then Prevost, actively avoided the case and didn't want to follow through. Now, I don't want to bear false witness, certainly not about the Pope of the Catholic Church. So we'll wait to see the details that fill in as he now is Pope. I just want us to be clear-eyed. He's a man and he can fail. And it's been an unfair week of focus, I think, last week as well on the Catholic Church. So let's get back to some of the truly, and I think purposely heretical churches in the United States. There are the Presbyterian USA, PCUSA, my understanding is the most far off the Bible version of Presbyterianism that exists. And this is a PCUSA pastrix. That's the phrase that the gospel left, in other words, the false gospel churches, have invented, wants to stop interpreting the scriptures from a misogynistic perspective. She instead prefers to interpret it from a feminist perspective. And she suggests that God Almighty lied to Adam and Eve.
People often ask me how I can be a feminist and a Christian. My response is that being a feminist Christian is the only way I can be a Christian. The author of 1 Timothy would certainly have considered feminist theologians and female clergy to be disobedient daughters of Eve. And there are a lot of Christians out there who would agree. And that's okay with me. Feminist theology has taught me how to reinterpret scripture in ways that are healing and life-giving. And I refuse to allow conservative Christians or anyone else to take my God away from me. As a feminist theologian, one of the things that gives me joy is reinterpreting texts that have been used to hurt or control people. Because the God that I know is full of light and life, because the God that I know holds me in my grief and walks with me in my pain, I know that the sacred word of God is not a weapon, nor should it ever be used to harm or shame people. Despite 2 millennia of misogynistic interpretations of Genesis and Eve, there have always been other ways to read this story. I love the story of Eve in the garden. My second child is named Eve. When we look at it with fresh eyes, it's quite a remarkable story. Have you ever noticed that God lied to Adam and Eve? While the serpent plays the role of the foil here, he's meant to set Eve up for her role as the bringer of wisdom and moral agency to the human community. The setup for this action that she takes is that God lied to her. God told the first couple, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you will die." And the serpent reveals the truth. You won't die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
That woman gets to call herself a pastor. She is Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. She is Antichrist. She's preaching Satan's lie. We do die. We weren't designed to die. Sin has entered that into the world. The Bible is so evidently clear on this. Now, what's good news about this is that PCUSA has decided to stop spreading the gospel, which is good since they don't believe in the gospel, or at least that woman doesn't, and much of the PCUSA organization doesn't. So it's good news that they're not going to go make disciples, because she's making disciples of Satan himself, period. That is unquestionable given what she is now reinterpreting. And incidentally, you can be a feminist theologian. You cannot be a feminist Christian theologian. I mean, you could study the faith and you could say, "I'm a theologian who studies Christianity and I'm a feminist." But if you're in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female, servant nor master. That's what the Lord himself taught us. We are the body of Christ. This is an old example of something heretical that happened, but I remembered this because one of the things that the Pope did before becoming Pope, Prevost, was he lectured people to wear masks and to socially distance. I haven't yet seen anything about him telling people to get the shots, thank God. But he did go around handing out the Eucharist in Peru, during the ridiculous, medically useless, politically designed lockdowns of people, all designed to force people to get the COVID shots, all of it, that's all designed. He went through the streets as cardinal, or was he bishop then? I should check on that. And he took Eucharist to people. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful act of service. Now, he was wearing a mask. A lot of people did that. A lot of people didn't understand that that was also part of the design to scare people into taking the shots. But what he didn't do, to my understanding, is have the Catholic Church stop baptizing. Saddleback Church, during this period of time, actually told people they could baptize themselves. And this clip, like the previous one, was from protestia.com.
Baptism is one of the most significant moments in our Christian life. It says to the world, "I am in the family of God." You've already scheduled a time, and now all you need to do is show up. We'll be here waiting for you. There are a couple options that will keep you safe and the others around you as well. The first is for you to be the only person in the water. Our team will be right by the side of the pool to guide you the whole way. Cameron's here to show you what this might look like.
It looks like you'd imagine it to look, a man ducking himself in water. And I want to have a forgiving heart. I do forgive in that period of time. What I can't forgive, well, see, now I just sinned. What I'm having trouble forgiving is the go-forward position of any church that is not in this time making very, very clear that there are people in politics, there are people in the church who are not misled. They are committing evil on purpose. The people continuing to push the COVID shots are purposely committing evil. No one can ignore what they've done or the lies built around them. Churches that are teaching that God lied are heretical and should lose any labeling as Christian churches. The church proper, the actual Christian churches, should be labeling these churches as satanic and warning people against them. We are watchers at the gate. Well, that's a role at least I think God has given me, a herald and a watcher at the gate. But if you see this ruin coming and you have any influence at all, it is incumbent upon us to warn people about churches like this. I'm seeing friends fall into this stuff because it's seductive. It's called morally therapeutic deism, turning God into an affirming counselor who simply says you're right about everything. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Thanks again for being part of Disciples View. Family, appreciate you. And I hope that you have prayed about, if you're not yet a monthly supporter of AFR, I hope you've prayed about that. And you can become a monthly supporter at AFR.net. And I encourage you to do that. It's tax deductible. And our work here is made possible because of you, obviously. It's also important to understand that takes a network that was, well, it was presented to Brother Don as a vision, but he couldn't figure out how to do it. And then in prayer, God said, well, here's how to do it. Here's how to take the American Family Association and to get it a radio network. So it's a completion of the work. It is also really important. I want you to understand how vital live radio is. And part of this is a metaphysical, spiritual belief I have about what God can do with the human voice. So I believe, since you are listening to me speak lifetime, that you and I have a connection that I have no proof of this. It's just that most of my work is podcasting, and I don't feel the connection to you. When I'm recording a podcast, doing radio, I feel a connection to you. I can't explain it. Other than to say we are having my voice is, I speak, it's transferred through God's air to you. Yes, there's translators involved, etc. That's one thing. This I do know, that live radio gets accidental tune-in. So what I mean is there are people who will pop into a rental car, or they're borrowing a friend's car, or they're waiting in line at a business, and they hear news being discussed. We were just talking about the Pope. And from the Pope, we talked about heretical churches. Prior to that, we talked about the broken nature of the country's healthcare system. And in all of that, if I am getting out of God's way, I'm letting God place his word there. And a lot of people, for the first time ever, will hear a Christian conversation about the news. And that's made possible by live radio. You have kids in cars with parents, and they might be annoyed right now saying, well, I don't want to be listening to you, old man. Fair enough. But it's your mom and dad's car, kiddo. And sometimes, and I know this because I've met listeners who've told me this, their kids pick up the habit. And honestly, I don't care if it's my program. I don't care. What I care is that it's AFR. Because to a person on this network, to a person, everyone here is committed to God's word at the center of this. I'm still the new guy. And I still count myself as less evolved as a host and as a Christian, particularly in Christian radio, than the people who came before. This is one cleanup item before we get to the tire babbling and a personal note. I am not a fan of Chief Justice John Roberts. And I will tell you why. Is number one, he is, to me, evidently owned by pharma. If it's good for pharma, it's good for John Roberts. Number two, John Roberts is more than happy to rewrite law or bills to make them something they're not. He did that twice with Obamacare. That is really, really disconcerting to me. Number three, he has a friendship with a guy who is a person who authored the first attacks on President Trump in lawfare. He'd written the impeachment papers before President Trump took office. His name is Norm Eisen. And John Roberts is a guy who spends a lot of time with Norm Eisen. And Norm Eisen has spent a career, as I understand it, Revolver News has a great series of stories on this, launching color revolutions in other countries. And I believe Norm Eisen has launched one here. And a color revolution is a cultural revolution against this country. And Norm Eisen absolutely hates the Constitution of the United States. Read his work. He hates the limits it places on people like him. So I was, I'm not at all a fan of John Roberts. And John Roberts recently decided to do something he doesn't normally do. He decided to go out and give an interview to CNN. And CNN, of course, loathes President Trump and loathes the MAGA movement and the Make America Healthy Again movement. And so he went to a safe, friendly place, did John Roberts. And I want you to listen to his comments. It has to do with judges, district court judges, holding President Trump's hands behind his back. Listen to John Roberts and tell me what you think the undertone of this is.
In our Constitution, judges and the judiciary is a co-equal branch of government, separate from the others, with the authority to interpret the Constitution as law. And strike down, obviously, acts of Congress or acts of the president. And that innovation doesn't work if it's not, the judiciary is not independent. Its job is to obviously decide cases, but in the course of that, check the excesses of Congress or of the executive, and that does require degree of independence.
He is telling district court judges to obstruct more. And if I were to sit with John Roberts, I would say, Mr. Chief Justice, what does the word district mean in regard to district courts? What does that mean? And if he was honest, he'd have to say, those are courts that hear cases from a given district. I see. How then does a district court become the Supreme Court? Because the Supreme Court hears that on behalf of the nation, not district courts. Now, with that as mere prelude, you can see why sometimes it's frustrating to do this. And yet we do. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like John Roberts on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
It's not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, beginning with this gentleman. This is a man who thinks he's a woman, and he has recently converted to a religious faith.
Salam, everyone. I just got to ask, who's cosplaying? See, cosplaying is when you dress up as something that you aren't or someone you aren't. I am a Muslim woman. I wear what a Muslim woman wears. I dress like that. So, who's cosplaying here? I think you need to learn the words that you're trying to use, because they ain't working for you.
Trolling. Of course, he's trolling. Of course, he's a man. Now, I mean this sincerely to that man. Don't try that in a Muslim country. Don't do that. Don't go to Hamas. And I'm not being snarky. I say to that man, you better not try that in a Muslim community. You'll get your head cut off. And I don't want that for you, because I want you to have time to get your head straight and your soul straight and come to Jesus, because I need Jesus. I admit it. I'm a Jesus needer. You need him too. A lot. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Hey, it's an actual Muslim woman. This is Representative Ilhan Omar admitting she was taken from her home country of Somalia, but she says something about that country.
No, in Jidat Keni and Wadat Lissano, Aniguan Ahai Gabar
Marek Galagadortai. I am a Somali girl taken from my country. I miss my country, and I dream of living in Somalia again. Okay. How can we help? You dream of living there again, Ilhan Omar. How can we help? Make sure you go live there yesterday. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's a speech during the Pulitzers, wherein this woman laments criticism of the press.
These are particularly difficult times for the media and publishers in the United States, atop years of severe financial pressures and layoffs, amid the dangers of covering wars and natural disasters. Journalists and writers now face additional threats in the form of legal harassment, the banning of books, and attacks on their work and legitimacy.
Her name is Marjorie Miller. She's an administrator with the Pulitzer Prize Association. And there have been no books banned. Not one. The schools are being told in your curated collections, you don't have room for all books. And so those books you're not going to have are the ones that teach perverse sex acts. That's what's going on. There have been some lawsuits that the media lost, thank God, because it did things like pretend a young man on the steps of the Capitol was a racist because he didn't know what to do when a racist leftist approached him with a drum on his face. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On a Disciple's View.
A quick personal note today. There was a place in my life, and I've mentioned this before, my grandfather's lake cabin. And it's the one place in the world I miss being fat. Truly. There was something I could do when I was well over 350 pounds at point. I was almost 400 pounds once. I was walking that path that my father walked, obesity and ignoring my health. And yeah, even then, I lifted a bunch of weights. I like to feel physically strong. I like the feeling of being under a heavy weight, that particularly if you're squatting a heavy weight, if you don't lift it, it'll crush you. I know that's weird. I like that feeling. But what I enjoyed about being heavy was I floated. And I thought I was a good swimmer. I wasn't a good swimmer. I could go out into the middle of the lake and I could float. And I could float for an hour. I used to say, I don't know why people think it's hard to tread water. Well, I wasn't treading it. I was floating. So why'd I love that? In that lake in Idaho, in the middle of that lake, there are no city lights. And the stars God placed above us are the light. There's little, if any, sound. And the sounds that are there are the lapping of the water. I floated, but I had to tread water a little bit. At night, The temperature of the lake was changing, and I could actually feel it happen as the sun went down. And on a calm night, if I listened closely, I could hear, you know, half mile from me, on shore, the sounds of my daughter running around and playing with her cousins, and the sound of my wife playing with them. And if I watched, I could see their little heads move across the window as they were playing inside, and I was taking my after-dinner swim. And in that floating, in that silence, even as a non-discipled Christian, but a churchgoer, a church funder, a Bible reader, I had that blessed experience of feeling small, which is an interesting thing to feel as a man who had allowed himself to become too large. I could feel small physically, but not insignificant, because inside that cabin, those sounds I heard, the sounds of family, God created family, the sounds of laughter I would hear from my wife, a relationship God created, and the fact that, yes, I could float and maintain buoyancy was God's design, that we could do that. That place still exists, and I'm blessed to have it less than probably 20 minutes from where I live. I haven't been there in a while. I want to take the family back. I can't float like I used to, but I can go out in the water and stand. And maybe, just maybe, I could get my daughter to join me, if even on her balance board, to come out and see what it's like on the lake on a calm night, looking back at a lit cabin that was built by hand by her great-grandpa, she only got to meet as an infant. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been Disciples View.